Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. The last two Sundays in our four-part series on Love Does Generosity, the first two parts were on giving of our money, that love does generously with our money. Today I want to talk to you about something that's personally even more difficult than being generous with your money, and that's learning how to be generous with your time. Last week I asked you, who found it more difficult to give your time than your money? And most of you raised your hands. I felt a little bit better that I wasn't the only one who struggled with that. That I can much more easily write a check to something and to say, here, I'll support you, than it is to give, you know, 4 hours or a day or a weekend. And I'm inspired by people like David and Holly who say, I'm going to go. I'm going to do something. I'm going to give my life. And that's harder for us in a lot of ways. But our markers, we know our markers, the mission markers that we gauge, are we making progress in this mission? The markers of identity in Christ, the markers of family, the marker of purpose, and the marker of sacrifice, that this message and these messages are markers of purpose and markers of sacrifice. That God has given us a purpose with the time He's given us, and He's called us to give that. And oftentimes it's sacrificial. So I want to talk to you this morning on time. Time. Use it or lose it. Time. Use it or lose it. In your outlines, the notes are there. So if you've got a morning program, open that up and let's bow our heads. Father, help us to understand and to take in all that you want to say to us today. I know, Lord, that I've prepared words, but those words is just a voice and communication. I pray that your Spirit would anoint the words and they will become life for each one of us. So I thank you, God, for the opportunity today to open your word. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Sir Walter Scott said this, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." Think about that for a moment. Do you love life? Then don't squander the time. That's what your life is made of. We have 168 hours in a week, 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes in that day, 86,400 seconds in a day. That sounds like a lot, yet we moan, I don't have enough time. We wonder, where is the time gone? We are surprised and ask ourselves, where has the time flown by? It's true that time doesn't stand still for anybody. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "The future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does, whoever he is." John Wooden, the great coach, said this, "If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over?" Ralph Waldo Emerson said it this way, "This time, like all times, is a very good one, if we but know what to do with it." Do you know what to do with your time? Do you know how to value your time? Do you know the purpose for your time? I have to admit that for a great portion of my life, and maybe it's just because I've lost some hair and what I have is turning gray and the wrinkles I have are more pronounced, and my kids are growing up and getting married and becoming a grandfather in a few months, and time is flying by. And it makes you think a little bit differently. When I was younger, I treated time as a commodity. It belongs to me to use it as I please. I schedule this and schedule that and go here and go there. And it was just a tool to be used or a commodity. And what I failed to realize is that time is a gift. As I grow older, I'm realizing much more what a precious, precious gift of God that time is. That every second, every moment, even every missed opportunity, it hits me a little harder. And I would imagine those that are my age or even a little bit older even sense that more intensely as you realize that maybe in the ball game of your life, that maybe you're at halftime or the third quarter or in the fourth quarter, you realize most of the game is over already. And it makes you think a lot more. We talked about money the last two Sundays, but I think even time is more precious, because I've said this often to myself. If maybe I made an investment that didn't go great, or maybe gave something generously and it was a little harder to give it. And in my mind, I hear the Spirit say, well, it's money. You can make some more tomorrow. But I can't make any more time tomorrow. Time is not a renewable resource. You can work harder. And even some of you have gone bankrupt and recovered. How awesome is that? You can take a risk and lose it and make some more and recover. With time, you can't recover it. When it's gone, it's gone. Time management, we read about this art of time management, about squeezing every last ounce of time out of our day. We talk about wasting time. Wasting time is just, it's not just doing the wrong thing, but could even be doing the right thing at the wrong time. What does the Bible say about time? Ecclesiastes is probably if 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter, that's the love chapter, Ecclesiastes 3 is probably the time chapter. When the writer of Ecclesiastes says this, there is a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does a worker gain from all his toil? I have seen this burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, or in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Powerful scripture. There's a time for everything, and everything is beautiful in its time. You can't plant in the wrong season. It's not beautiful. It won't give you anything in return, but it's beautiful to plant in the right season. You don't laugh at the gravesite. It's not beautiful. It's a time to shed tears there. We were all born when it was the right time, and we will all die unless the Lord returns at the right time. But there will be a time for each one of us. Let me ask you, do you think sometimes God is stingy? The Sunday school answer is, no, Pastor, God is never stingy. And then Jesus has to come in there somewhere. You always have to have Jesus in the answer to those questions. But in the back of my mind, I think that sometimes we think God is stingy because we'll say things like, God, I just don't have enough time to do what you called me to do. I don't have enough time. If you just give me more time, I can fulfill the purposes you've called me to. If you just give me more, God, maybe you're thinking about last 2 weeks, if you give me more money and give me more time, then I could accomplish all of your purposes. Just give me a little bit more, or give me a lot more, and I could do what you called me to do. When what we're really thinking is this, God, you didn't give me enough to have the great life that I would have had otherwise. If you had given me more money, I could have had the great life I want. If you'd given me more time, I could have the great life that I really want inside. Can I tell you, it's not about not having enough, it's about using what we have. Talking about money, it's not how much you earn, it's how much you spend. And only people like us could turn to God and with all the things that He's given us, all the wealth that we have, all the resources we have, and turn to God and say, God, I'd be happy if you'd just give me more. Give me more, God, and then I'll be happy. Well, sorry to tell you, God's not giving you more time. You're not getting any more. The sad part is, we don't even know how much we have. That makes it even trickier, doesn't it? Well, this morning I want to give you three principles on how to manage time, how to use it so you don't lose it. Three principles from God's Word. The first, if you want to use it and not lose it, you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. Okay, I read all the books, Pastor. I've read the time management books. Well, let's hear it from God's Word. Excuse me. And see if we can obey that. Because some of us are still wasting a lot of time. Here's what God's Word says. Be careful. Read this with me, would you? Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Can we say that one more time? Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Are the days evil? They are, aren't they? We're living through it every day with the next disaster, the next horror, the next random act of violence. The days are evil. Because the days are evil, God's Word says, be careful how you use your time. Be careful. You ever thought about being careful? Like your time is this precious heirloom that if you carry it uncarefully that you might drop it and break it and you'll lose it? Or do we just kind of get up and take for granted that we've got all the time we need? Folks, we don't. We don't. Be careful how you live. When we're not careful, the Scripture says we're living unwisely. But instead, be wise. How do you be wise with your time? By being careful with it. Because the days are evil. How do you be wise with it and be careful with it? Make the most of every opportunity. How do you make the most of every opportunity? You plan to make the most of every opportunity. I imagine Holly and David just didn't whimsically get on a plane and head to East Africa. They had to plan. They had to look at the opportunity and say, how can this be achieved? And begin to plan, begin to pray, begin to strategize. You make the most of every opportunity by planning. Because your time is not a renewable resource. Let me ask you this. How many would treat time differently if you knew exactly how much you had left? Some of you might have a big 5-gallon barrel worth of time left. And for those of you that are younger, and you're presuming I mean you, not the case. Because you don't know, young or old, when it's your time. Some of you might not have a big 5-gallon barrel, you might have a 5-gallon bucket. And that's all you've got. Some of you might have a communion cup of time left. I horror to think. And I don't want to misuse a horrible example, but I guarantee the people that lost their lives this week going to a fun night of concert and celebration weren't thinking that was their last night. Just having fun. You see, the reason why we have to be careful is because we don't know how much we have. And if we don't know how much we have, it would be wise to manage what we do have, which is right now, because that's all we really know we have. But yet we so whimsically disregard that and treat time as if it's just this unending resource when it really isn't. Be careful. What are the things you wish you could do if you just had the time? Can I tell you that you can do them if you just plan? You can do them. Oh, I just wish I had more time, I'd do that. Well, no, you really don't want to do that, because if you really wanted to, you'd make the time. Isn't it fascinating how you do the things you make time for? And what's really important, you make time for it. Planning requires decisions. So let me give you 5 decisions. Or rather, 5 questions that will help you. And these are you can find a scripture, I guess, for each of these, but this is just kind of common sense on being wise with time. Ask yourself each of these 5 questions in making decisions and managing your time. Number 1, how important is it? Notice I didn't say how urgent it is. Sometimes the urgent overshadows the important. How important is it? Is it more important than to work that extra 20 hours, or more important to go to your kid's baseball game? As a father with my last child moving out in 3 weeks, I'm thinking baseball game because it goes fast. What's most important? Number two, is this the right time for this? Sometimes it's a really good thing, but is it the right timing? You have to think that through. This is a good thing, but is it the time for now? Number three, how much time will it require? When you're planning, you have to know, don't you? Do I have the resource to carry this out? Is it going to require more than I think it will? Then you plan accordingly. Number four, how much time do I have? If you know how much it's going to require, do you have the resource to give to it? If it's really important, we find a way to make those times. And number five, what will I have to give up in order to do it? You know that when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else, right? You always are. When you say yes to attend this function, you're saying no to another function. When you say yes to this person, you're saying no to another person. What will I give up? We have to ask ourselves. The key decision this morning, and the key first point is this. I will evaluate my time. Your next step in this is to start looking more closely at your time. It's a gift of God. It's not renewable, and you don't know how much you have. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Evaluate. Number two, if I want to use it and not lose it, I must plan, but I must plan with the right perspective. Planning is one thing, but planning with the right view is really, really important. Here's what Scripture says. We've already read it one time. Whoops, let me go backwards. Missed this one. Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything. Say it with me, would you? There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. He has made everything beautiful in its time. The perspective is this. God has His finger on our time. God wants to make everything beautiful in our life. God doesn't want to make everything ugly. He wants to make it beautiful. But there's a timing. And we have to have the perspective, God's perspective, in His timing. There's a time and a season for everything. You don't plant when you should harvest. That's not beautiful. You don't buy when you should sell. If you're in the market, that's really not beautiful. You don't build when you should tear down. You don't gather when you should sow. You don't always embrace when you should set boundaries. You don't always keep when you should give. There's a right way and a wrong way of looking at things. You know, I've read the books and I'd hear messages on time and on managing time, and I'd get confused because I'd hear statements said like this: you need to work, but you also need to rest. Well, which one is it? Which one takes precedent? Or you need to have goals and plans, but you need to leave it in God's hands. Well, which one am I supposed to do? And you get frustrated. Or you need to put all your energy and be focused, but in your focus you need to be flexible. It's frustrating, isn't it? You hear all these things, and really the answer is both and to all of those. That God is a God of balance. Balance. The key point, the first is evaluate. The second key point is balance. We need to learn how to balance. We need to learn how to balance our work and our rest. God gave a Sabbath for a reason, didn't He? How many are good at taking their Sabbath? Only a few. How many are good at working hard? A lot. How do we balance our work and our Sabbath? I really think we have a love-hate relationship with busyness. I really do. How many times do you hear someone say, "Hey, how you doing?" And their response is, "Oh man, I'm so busy." And that's a double-edged sword, isn't it? They say it in a way that their busyness is a heavy burden that they wish they didn't have. But they also say it in a way that says to you, "I'm so important, I'm so busy." life is so, it's such a big deal because I'm so busy. Isn't that true? It's a love-hate relationship. Oh, I'm so busy. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, the calendar's crazy. Oh, there's everything going here and going there. When deep inside, what we're thinking is that I'm busy, I must be important. Because of my busyness, I'm valuable. People need me. The task needs me. My boss needs me. Everybody needs me. Wow, I'm the center of their universe. I'm a big deal. And busyness proves that somehow in our heart and in our mind. How many know that that's not true? If you go to work this week, and I don't suggest this, but if you do, and you go to work, and you work from Monday through Friday, and you accomplish absolutely nothing. You look back on your week and you go, what did I do this week? Nothing. And you know what? I've lived some of those weeks, these last 6 weeks, that I've been laid up. I look back at, what did you do today? Nothing. And I've had to learn how to kind of reprogram myself that my busyness doesn't equal my value. And you know what? If you did nothing this week, God would still value you the same before the week start as He did the week before the week started. Your busyness did not increase your value with God. You were just as valuable before. But in our own minds and our own thinking, we're more valuable. Who's the person that looks most important in a crowd? The one with the clipboard running around as if he's busy. Follow that guy and find out and look and see if he's actually doing anything. Or if he's just mastered the art of looking busy, which equals looking important. We need to balance this. Busyness and work and rest. If we get too busy, we're crazy stressed and we're imbalanced. If we're not busy enough, we're lazy. The Bible says work. There's a time to plan. Let's get busy. We've got to work. But those are the extremes. God has created us to find the middle ground and to know when the right time there is to work and the right time to rest. A right time to put your nose to the grindstone and get after it, and a time to say, that's enough. I'm going home now. Got to balance. Number two, we got to balance the planning and the trusting. Planning and trusting. I like this phrase. You've heard it before. Plan as if everything depends on you. Plan as if everything depends on you. Pray as if everything depends on God. That's good balance. Work hard, trust God. Plan well. Pray, because you know that you can't make your plans work, only God can. Here's what I know, and I've learned this now, 40 years of serving God, that God seems to bless the things I've planned for. Kind of interesting. The things that I blow off and don't plan for whatever reason, they don't get blessed. You think there's a correlation between our being wise with our time and being good stewards of time and God's blessing? I think there is. Why would God look at a lazy child and say, I'm just going to pour out all my blessing on you so that you'll just be reinforced with how lazy you are? God tends to bless what we work. But even better than that, you got to love experiencing God when it says, instead of then just making plans, why don't we pray and find out what God's plan is, and then you know the plan's already blessed. I already know that God's will for Holly and David is to be in Comoros. How do I know? Because the Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men, and I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. We don't have to argue about God's will. They're doing it. So God's going to bless that plan. If you have God's plan, it'll always be blessed. I love the story. I use it all the time, but I love it about the two children, brother and sister, running to the bus stop. They find out that they're late and the bus is pulling away from the bus stop. And it's obvious that they're not going to make it unless they hurry. And the girl says, let's stop and pray. And the brother says, why don't we pray while we run? I think that's a good balance. Let's work hard. But let's trust God that He's the one who makes the plans really work ultimately. Number three, balance between schedule and relationships. Have you realized that your relationships take scheduling? They do. You've got to plan. You've got to find the balance. But guys, let me just give you a heads up here. If you say to your wife, well, Pastor said I got to schedule my relationship. So babe, tonight from 8 to 8:05, we're going to have a conversation. Can I just tell you this? You might as well schedule the argument till 11. We got to balance the schedule and the relationship. Sometimes your schedule doesn't allow for relationship. But how many know if you live under your schedule, you're not going to have any relationships? That there's a time to put the calendar away and a time just to relax. I learned growing up as a parent that sometimes when one of the kids was willing to talk, that was the time that you better take that moment, because as they're growing into teenager years, it's maybe not all that frequent. So when they're ready to talk, you better say, this is an important time. This is relationship time. Let's focus, or I'm going to miss a golden opportunity to connect. There's a time to get out of work and get on the floor with your kids. There's a time to tell your boss, you know, I love my job and I respect you, but I've been here already way too many hours. I'm going home. There's also a time to say, I've been on vacation for so long now, I better get back to work. Because it's balance. You balance your schedule and you balance your relationships. Number four, you balance your discipline and flexibility. Your discipline and flexibility. Some of you guys are so disciplined. You are. You're saying, I don't even know why I'm here this morning. I got all this stuff down. I am so disciplined, man. I'm like clockwork. I'm bop, 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 bop. Until your calendar that you so perfectly scheduled and crafted and you've worked on it, until life just doesn't go as you thought it would. And now you need some flexibility. And that really messes your head up. Because you're great as long as everything's scheduled, but as soon as a little bit of flexibility is necessary, you feel you're going to just snap. Because you're rigid. There are other people that are so flexible, it's like, whatever happens, let's just go hang out. Let's surf this wave today. You don't get anything done. A lot of you that are so rigid, you've got every second planned out of every day, that you've squeezed every little bit of every minute out, that you're going to die 20 years younger. For the stress of squeezing every ounce out of every minute. We got to learn how to be flexible and disciplined at the same time. Jesus was the most balanced in all of these. You notice how Jesus had an absolute purpose and a direction. But when something was important, he would deviate. And sometimes for a day or two. And in those deviations, there is where you see some of the greatest miracles in the Gospels. At other times, Jesus would say to the disciples, you know what? It's time to get away from the crowd. Let's go just us. Let's go be together. We need some us time. And at other times, he would get away from the 12 and go pray all night. Because he knew it was time to get away from the 12 and go be alone with God. And then he'd come back to the crowd. He was always balanced because he had the right perspective. I'm here for the Father to do and to speak only what he tells me to do and to speak. Would you say you have balance in your life? Number one, let's evaluate our time. Plan. Number two, let's find balance in our life. And that's hard work, but it's necessary. I will balance my time. Key number two. And last one, number three, if you want to use it and not lose it, I must have a plan with the right perspective, but with the right purpose. Have to have the right purpose. This one last key is really important. Because some of us can be so wonderfully diligent, so powerfully disciplined, so even balanced, and you're just going great guns. But how many know you can be really, really fast, really, really efficient, really, really excellent, but if you're going in the wrong way, it's not going to help you. You're still lost. And for so many of us, we're going, man, I think maybe I've been spending all my energies and all my time and all my effort going in a direction, and I'm kind of realizing that might be the wrong direction. And so the remedy is, let's put more energy into it. Church, putting more energy into going the wrong way isn't going to make you go the right way. You're still going to be lost. What you have to do is stop, turn around, and go the right way. Then, even if you're going slower, you're still making more progress than when you were going fast the wrong way. The right purpose. What's the purpose that you're here for? If you're a Christian, you should have an inkling of what that is. If you're not sure what that is, I can give you two really easy ways to find out. Number one, read your Bible. There you will find all the purpose you need for the rest of your life. If still that's not good enough for you, spend time daily in prayer asking the Father, and what He'll do is say, refer back to number one, read your Bible. And you'll find all the purpose that you need. You can have the greatest attitude and the greatest perspective. Oh, life is great. I got a great perspective, and still be lost. Because your purpose is wrong. Some of us need to stop. Just admit to themselves, I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm spending my time in the wrong places. I need to stop and turn it around. The Bible says this in Psalms. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Say this last part with me. My times are in your hands. That's the purpose. Who does your time belong to? You? No, the Bible says my time is in His hands. He's the one who owns my time in the same way that He owns my dollars. He's the owner of my dollars. I'm the manager of His resources. God is blessed with a certain amount of time. I'm the steward of the time He's given me. Ephesians 1:10 in today's English version says it this way. This plan which God will complete when the time is right is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as the head. Whose plan is that? God's plan. What does it say? This plan, which God will complete. God's plan is to bring everything under Christ, the head. Therefore, if that's God's plan, what are our plan to be? Same plan, right? If that's God's plan, and we're following God, our plan ought to be His plan. So the plan that we said we were going to evaluate and have the right perspective about and bring balance to, the purpose then is to lead our lives according to His plan. And when you do that, you will have purpose for your life. You won't wonder and worry about, well, what am I doing? I'm just wasting time. I don't even know if I'm going the right direction. If you're following Christ and you're following His plan, you are going the right direction and you will never be unfulfilled. It might not be easy. We're not talking about the Christian myth that following Christ, the goal is happiness. It isn't. The goal is to bring glory to our Maker, and ultimately we'll see Him face to face and live eternally. And there will be all the joy we can ever think of. You can make millions. The question is, why? You could be world renowned. Why? You could control nations. Why? What does it matter if the purpose is wrong? The purpose is the same purpose as God's. That we be careful, not living as unwise. That we realize everything is beautiful in its time. And that the time is God's. It's in His hands. And the ultimate plan is to bring everything under Christ. Everything. Now this doesn't mean that you now, because we had a missionary guest in the Comoros Islands, and I'm talking about using your time wisely, that you think somehow this is a subtle message, and it's a, you know, kind of like a subliminal message that says, he really wants me to be a missionary. He wants me to go to Africa. Dang it. Sneaky pastor. That's not what I'm saying at all. How many know that those missionaries couldn't get where they are unless there are people here working hard and making good money to send them? If God calls you, you go, because that's a good use of time according to His purpose. Here's what I am saying. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it all to the glory of God. And as God calls you and leads you and you obey His purpose, you'll find that no matter what it is, it gives glory to God. I love to play sports. Played them since I was young. I have made it a commitment since I was a young person in high school when I got saved that every game would be a glorifying thing to Him. Has it been that all the time? Sadly, no. Sometimes I'm a hothead. But that's the goal. Why can't I set an example for my teammates and those there? And you know what? There have been more times when teammates have come and been curious about Jesus Christ just because of playing together on a sports field when you make it a ministry. What is it that you do and what you like to do that you're doing right now? Plan, change your perspective, and change your purpose about those things, and you'll soon find that you're functioning in God's purpose as He then takes control of that area. When you go to work every day, that's your mission field. You work there to make a paycheck. You are there for God's glory. When you come home into your neighborhood, that's a purpose. You live there to keep yourself out of the rain. You are there to be a missionary. The things you like to do and you enjoy, that's a gift of God, but they're not there just to enjoy and say, that was nice. Turn them into God's purpose. And then you found a good use of time. Without having to feel somehow this tremendous burden that you're somehow not doing God's will. You're only not doing God's will when He's told you what to do and you tell Him no. But you can say yes to God's will every day. Whether it is maybe you get called overseas and go into a mission field, or whether you get called locally and go to your work tomorrow morning in the mission field. The key decision, I will submit my time to God. So three key words today. The first one was what? Goodness. Most people say people forget the message 72 hours after it was preached. We've forgotten it like 19 minutes afterwards. Evaluate. Let's evaluate our time. Number two key word is what? Balance. Number three key word is? Submit. You take those three key words according to your time and the scriptures we've given, you'll find yourself functioning in purpose. Here's what I know. Right now, a lot of you are thinking, oh man, how do I fit Jesus into my time? Do I have enough time to get up and to start seeking Him and reading my word and praying and making my lifestyle, according. Do I have time to fit Him in? If you're thinking that this morning, we already have an issue. Jesus Christ went to the cross because He didn't fit you in. He made you the purpose of His time. Jesus is our God. We don't fit Him in. We are somehow amazingly, astonishingly recipients of His grace that He would even allow us an audience. But the awesome, gracious love of God not only grants us an audience, but He throws His arms open wide and He says, come, anybody's welcome and everybody's welcome. We don't fit God in. We are blessed that somehow He let us fit in. If you're here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus, you might be searching for purpose. You might have read all the self-help books on how to manage your time well. Can I just tell you, you can keep reading them and you'll find some good things. You'll find some good strategies. But in the end, it will be like you're a hamster on the hamster wheel because you'll be running hard going nowhere. Because Jesus is the only one. God is the only one who will make your time purposeful. He's the Creator. And when you align yourself with the Creator, you've aligned yourself with purpose. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Lord, I thank You and praise You, Jesus, for Your word. It's powerful and it's true. I pray in Jesus' name. And I need, as I pray these words, God, I'm praying to my, with myself in mind, I need You when it comes to evaluating and balancing and submitting my time to You. I get so arrogant thinking that somehow I'm not going to have to account for the time I spent. That it's somehow my time. It's Your time. And You've called me to use it wisely because the days are short and they're evil. Lord, I don't want to live under the shadow of the most vile six-letter word in the English language. Regret. I don't want to live under that shadow and think about the time I didn't use wisely and then regret it, but I can't go back and change it. Father, help us today. Help us today, Lord, to evaluate the time you've given us, to learn to balance the time you've given us, to learn to submit every second to you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray. If you're here this morning, you say, this was God's word to my life because I feel like I'm just going crazy sometimes. But I know now that I can, with purpose, submit my time and find fulfillment in my life. If that's you today and you need to make some changes, you slip up a hand, slip it back down. Yeah, all over. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. Yeah. We're all there. We're all with each other here. There may be others here this morning that have not yet given their life to Jesus Christ. For whatever reason, you've been hemming and hawing. Think, oh, it's not the right time. Oh, man. There's never not a right time to accept Christ, because we don't know if we have a thimble full or a bucket full. It's a horrible thing to live in eternity with regret, passing up an opportunity. So maybe today's your opportunity. Maybe today's your time. If you don't know yet the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but you'd like to today, would you slip up a hand, put it back down? Let me recognize you. All right, seeing none, let's pray. Father, thank you, Jesus, for your word today. We pray in your name, God, that you would help us each day to use our time so that we don't lose it. Forgive us when we've wasted the time. Help us today from this day forward to be more like you, to see the plan laid out before us in your word, to see your perspective, that you are the God who goes before us, and to see your purpose and submit to it. We thank you, Lord. We give you the praise for this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor Sean.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Stelling Road in Cupertino, California.